Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are bought with a price. We are bought with a price. I'm going to read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 15. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that ye which is joined with an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Paul is teaching us here that we're not to be joined with those desires of the flesh. He's specifically speaking of fornication here as an example, but as we're reading this, I want you to think of other things, other sins, other desires of the flesh that cause you to be carnally minded rather than spiritually minded. And you know, here he's comparing being joined one in body with a harlot. And he is comparing this with being joined in one with God in spirit. We have fleshly desires in this body. Desires that are outside of what we've been taught to do. And they're powerful desires if we allow them to be. And yet at the same time, we also have good desires. Desires to do what's right and what's pure and what's honest and what is lawful and what is strengthening to the spirit and to the soul. And if we follow those desires, we can become one with God. We can be one with God. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Paul here is speaking of the power of fornication. If we allow that sin to take place in our heart and we allow it to be completed and fulfilled in our body, the power that it can have and can how it can affect our own body. And he's warning us to not even allow that sin to enter the heart because of the effect that it can have on the body and eventually the soul. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Our body, if we've been baptized, and then baptized by God with the Holy Spirit, our body contains that wonderful gift. I don't know if you all remember in the third book of Nephi, chapter 9, when the people met with Christ, and they were taught, the multitude was taught by those 12 chosen of Christ. They were taught of his wonderful gospel and the hope they have of purity and salvation. The one thing they desired was that Holy Ghost. They wanted to be pure inside. They had that desire to be pure and washed, and had that desire to be led by God. And you and I, those of us who have chosen to be baptized, those of us who've chosen to make a covenant with God and follow him the rest of our lives and obey him. And we were baptized with hands, and then we were baptized with fire and the Holy Spirit. This body is to be led by that Holy Spirit. This body is the temple that contains that Spirit of God that will guide us, that does guide us each day of our lives. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Once we've made that covenant, we're not our own. We don't have the right to go choose to do our own will rather than God's. No, we've made a commitment for life to do his will each day. And each day is the opportunity to fulfill that commitment. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in the body, in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And once we have his Spirit there to guide us, we have that opportunity. We have that responsibility to serve him each day with gladness. It's so easy. So easy not to. It's so easy to be tempted by the frustrations and the afflictions of each day. But remember where you were. Remember where you were before you made that commitment. And those of you who haven't made that commitment, know where you are. And the guilt that remains there because you haven't made that commitment. But the opportunity that avails you to make that commitment and to have joy. But those of us who have made that commitment, we should serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. When we wake up in the morning, and even though we know that there's all kinds of trials before us in the day, go to your hymn book and grab your favorite hymn, the one that touches your heart the most, and sing praises to him. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and that he hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What are sheep? Well, sheep are animals that are guided by a shepherd. And he is our shepherd. We are not our own once we've made that commitment. And honestly, We are not our own when we haven't made that commitment. We're following another shepherd, which is not Christ. But when we have made that commitment and he has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We are surrounded by so many lies in this world, and we don't even realize it. I guess I've come to realize it with the situation in Honduras, because I was following it before it hit the news here. And I knew what was going on. And yet I watch the news here, and it's not at all what's going on. It's lies. And I hate to say that. I hate, because I don't want to speak bad of our country, but there are a bunch of lies going on. And it causes me to wonder, you know. I hadn't thought about, you know, it'd been a while. In the past, I'd seen lies in the media that I'd kind of just gotten away from it because, you know, you can get angry about these things, and anger is not of the Lord. And so I've recognized now, lies. Lies are around us. Lies from people that you think are telling the truth. But yet, his truth endureth to all generations. Where is his truth? It's in the Word of God. And we must be planted in the Word of God. And if we're not, we're going to be led by lies. His truth endureth to all generations. Mosiah chapter 1. When I read a little bit about his truth from King Benjamin, who was an incredible king. Can you imagine living under a king who didn't seek to serve himself and have you serve him too, didn't highly tax his people? I mean, I don't really think he taxed his people, but oh yes, probably for internal government purposes, but he worked with his own hands to set an example before his people. He was a humble man. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 52. And before he died, he knew he had to speak to his people to rid his garments of any sin he might have had not spoken to his people. He wanted to rid his garments of any guilt that he might have had if he had not spoke all truth unto his people. So as we were just reading in Psalm 100, God's truth endureth to all generations. And in King Benjamin's time, this is the truth he spoke. Verse 52, I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks, remember we were just reading about giving thanks and praise to God, if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God which hath created you and hath kept you and preserved you and hath caused that ye should rejoice and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if you should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say if you should serve him with your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. Well, why is that? Let's see. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. Central phrase here that I want you to remember. All that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, here's a promise, ye should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if ye do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. If there's some trial that you have in your life, something that if you're not prospering, and I'm not talking about the prosperity doctrine of today, that if you're not rich, I'm not talking about that. Prosper in joy and peace and love. If you're not prospering, you're probably not keeping his commandments. If you don't have joy, you're probably not keeping his commandments. And now, in the first place, he hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he hath commanded you, for which if ye do, he doth immediately bless you. Let's read that once more, one more time. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he hath commanded you. Once again, keep his commandments. For which, if ye do, he doth immediately bless you. How plain that is. So probably, if we want to be blessed, our brother Jim was talking before we started before I got up, was talking about the blessings of God and how great they are, and you know how wonderful he's blessed you at times. It's been when you've submitted yourself to him. If you want to feel that again, if you don't feel it now, submit yourself to it again. This afternoon, sit down in your favorite chair or whatever and just start reading. And then plan, how are you going to fulfill these commandments? And then do what you plan to do. Ask him, what do I do next? And that Holy Spirit that he baptized you with will tell you. If you feel so far from him that you don't even know, you haven't even heard his voice in a while, cry out to him. Say, God, I need you. I want to follow you. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he hath commanded you, for which, if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you. He's showing us how we're unprofitable servants. And ye are still indebted unto him. Unprofitable, meaning we're in debt to him, and will always be in debt to him. We are not our own. We're indebted. This is the only debt in this life that will ever be joyful. And ye are still indebted unto him, and are and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast? Now I ask, can you say aught of yourselves? Is there anything that you can boast of yourself? I'm good at this or I'm good at that. If we're good at anything, it's because God gave us the gift. We're indebted to Him for the gift, to serve Him with that gift. And now I ask, can you say aught of yourselves? I answer, nay. You cannot say that you are even as much as the dust of the earth, yet thou wast created of the dust of the earth. And behold, it belongeth to Him who created you. We were made of the dust of the earth, and that was His. He created us. And I, and what an example He is here, whom ye call your king, am no better than ye yourselves are, for I am also of the dust of the earth. What an example. He had the opportunity. He was king. He had, you know, it wasn't a government of separation of powers. He was king. He had the opportunity to command what he wanted. Yet he didn't. He recognized in all that he'd been given that it was from God and that he was indebted to serve God. He also said that when you're in the service of your fellow being, you are only in the service of your God. He served his people by example, by word and deed. And we should follow his example. The people were so amazed by what he said here that they wanted to make a covenant with God, a righteous covenant. And you'll find it in Mosiah chapter 3, verse 6. Let me start in verse 5 instead. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our king hath spoken unto us and brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding great joy, and we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God. And this is the covenant that we enter into when we're baptized. To do His will and to be obedient to His commandments in all things which He shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the mouth, by the angel, and we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them, and therefore He said unto them, ye have spoken the words that I have desired, that I desired. And the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore, ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under his head are ye made free. And there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. No other name. No other power. No other God. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ. And that's what we do when we make that commitment to Him and when we witness it in the waters of baptism. We take upon us the name of Christ, our King. You know, when we are born into a family, we take upon us the name of our Father. And here we take us, in the waters of baptism, we take upon us the name of Christ. And, you know, in times before, in some current families, when you do something bad, I can't remember what the old phrase was, but you dishonor the name. The name of your family. You have dishonored the Kroll name, or the Harris name, or the whatever name. But when we don't obey Christ and His commandments, we dishonor the name of Christ that we've taken upon ourselves. Therefore, there is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this, here's a promise, shall be found at the right hand of God. For he shall know the name by which ye are by which he is called. For he shall be called by the name of Christ. Please turn with me to Alma chapter 5, verse 17. And this is regarding that covenant once again. This is Alma speaking to his people. Alma chapter 5, verse 17. But behold, the Spirit hath said this much unto me, saying, cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths, which are straight. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, in this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. When we call out to him, he's already done that work to take upon him our sicknesses, our afflictions. So when you call out in faith that he's going to answer your prayer. When we were singing, or when we were waiting for the service to begin, our sisters played a hymn. I heard it and I knew the tune. Jesus never fails. Because he's already performed the work. He's authored the work. It's up to you and I to believe and to have faith in him that he's going to take that affliction and that he's going to do good. And he's going to guide you and direct you in his way. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, and his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. He knows how to give us comfort, how to bring us peace, how to guide us, how to give us joy even in the midst of the storm. Now the Spirit knoweth all things, nevertheless the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now behold, this is the testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you that ye must repent, ye must turn from your sins. You must believe in his name, repent, turn from it, and turn to him. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. There's no other way. You must make that covenant with him. You must witness it by being baptized according to his word. And he'll baptize you with that Holy Ghost. You must repent and be born again. For the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Don't believe the lies that you just must, all you must do is confess him with your lips. That's not all. You have to fulfill all his word. You have to be obedient to all his commandments. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness, no matter what you've done. What a promise. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not. Don't say, oh, but I can't obey him. I can't be obedient to him. What he's called you to do, he can fulfill. It says, come and fear not. And lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you. See, he's not just talking to those who appear to be good. He's talking to everybody. Everybody has sin that can easily beset them. That means that they're easily tempted to buy and can easily fall to. But he's saying, lay it aside. Come and fear not and lay aside every sin. Trust in him, which doth easily beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. And that's where all sin takes us. Yea, come and go forth and shew unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whosoever doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth. So that's speaking to you and I who have been baptized as well. The same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. John chapter 1, verse 1. Christ came as a witness to his people. He came to save his people, the house of Israel. Yet many and most rejected him. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word is Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Those who hear him, those who read his word, and believe, they believe because it's light under their situation, under the darkness that they feel. It's light, it's truth, it's understanding. Continue with me in verse 8. No, in verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Most of the house of Israel that he came to did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's what we were reading about earlier. When we are born of God, we are his children. When we're born of our parents, we're sons of men. But when we were born of God, of his Spirit, we become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Christ was on this land, he was the only begotten Son of God. Begotten means born of. He was born as a baby of God. There was no father to give seed. It was God. He was the only begotten, the only born of God. And yet we have been given power to become sons of God by Christ himself. Through his sacrifice, through the keeping of his commandments. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, excuse me, let me read that again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You no longer have to live each day in obedience to that sin. That sin no longer has power over you, because now Christ lives in you, and you have that power over sin that you couldn't gain power over of before, because he now reigns in your body. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because of what Christ did. Now you have life that reigns in your body. But if the Spirit of him that raised you up Excuse me. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You no longer have that. You no longer have to be obedient to sin. You now have that power that raised up Christ from the dead. You have that power in you to overcome any sin, any temptation that might affect you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. There is no reason that we now, who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, have to obey the flesh. There is no reason, no excuse for us. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I want to go back to that example that we first read about, fornication, and any other deed of the flesh, any other temptation that we might have or sin that we might have committed because we chose to, not because we had to. Mortify those deeds, kill them. Do what you have to do to stay away from them. Resist them. I think anger probably is a sin that takes many of us. We don't have to fall to that sin. Somebody doesn't make us angry. We choose to. There is a point of time in between that temptation and our response to that temptation where we choose whether we're going to follow Christ or through the Spirit mortify that deed. I choose not to be angry. I choose to love instead. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. Remember, when you get tempted to fear some man or fear a situation where you know you're supposed to do this, you know you're supposed to say this, but you fear the outcome, remember that that is not of God. That is bondage of the devil to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are His children. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know, remember that Christ said that we are to become His children. We are His children. Children who trust so much in little children, trust so much in their parents. So we should trust so much in God and be obedient to Him. I'd like to finish with that 1 Corinthians again, and I'm just going to read that last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.